last night during prayer, that phrase came out, what manner of love do you have for us, Father? I think he proved a little bit of that just now, of what manner of love does he have for us. He has a way of bringing healing and touching us, reminding us of his love and his sacrifice, that by his stripes we are healed, and by what he did on the cross made available to us all manner of things. What manner of love? Oh my gosh, it's an ending. I'm going to get to it here in a minute, but Paul prophesied to the Ephesians, says, I want you to know the height, the breadth of his love. I want you to know how big the love of God is. When Sharon and I left, we were leaving to take Carmen. We got a word, and the word was, God's got something for you on this trip. Heather comes back and she said, man, I just feel something stirring for you guys. I feel like something's going to happen with you guys. Some things are going, just God wants some things that's going to go on during this trip. And so it really heightened our awareness. It put out our antennas, our tentacles, and said, so Father, just where do you want us? What do you want us to know? What you want us to hear? What do you want for us? So, man, starting day one, we just said, God, just speak. Speak, speak, speak. And let our ears be opened to what you want. Let our eyes see what you want us to see. And this is toward the end of the trip, we're driving back, and Sharon asked me, so, multiple things happened, multiple. But she says, so what do you believe the Lord said to you? And I said, everything stems out of the love of God. Everything stems out of the love of God for our lives. To know that his love is is constantly making aware of your situation. He knows how many hairs on your head, no less the things that are going wrong in your body. He knows the situation that you're in. He knows who you are. And everything stems out of that. How he moves, how he directs, how he's dealing with you, how he's bringing forth truth and revelation, and how he's moving in your life. And you're going to see, hopefully, a revelation of what God is doing in our lives. Because I believe this is an important key. It is the key thing that we need to understand in this transition that's happening to us now. And Hebrews says this is a transitional thing. We're going from one place to another. It is a discipleship thing that's happening in this body. And in this body is going to be the crux of everything flows. Everything stems out of the love of God. We cannot survive. Anything that we start doing apart from the love of God will not last. It will not last. Your marriage to one another, if it does not stem out of the love that you have for one another or from the love of God in it, it will not last. You'll go through difficulties and go, man, this isn't worth it. But love will make it worth it. I'm telling you, this is crucial in this time. Turn to Deuteronomy. So many ways that I wanted to, didn't know how to start this. But Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 12. start with verse 11. God is giving some instruction. And in verse 11, he says, "And the Lord said to me, arise, journey on before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers and give to them." Here it is. "And the Lord said to me, on your journey before the people, that they may go and possess the land." This is their transition. This is the transition of this body. Shoulder to shoulder. Moving into a city of what we want to show the love of Jesus and God and bring His kingdom into being. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but reverently fear the Lord your God? Fear the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve Him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with your entire being." Here is a progression of the Lord. Here's the progression of salvation. First, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Your children, before they love you, they fear you. Before they love you, they're going, "Why did you take out trash?" "Because my daddy's going to beat my butt." "Why did you do certain?" "Well, they'll get on to me. I don't like them getting on to me." There's a fear that comes, a reverence. He is Almighty God. He has the ability. We know who He is and what He can do. The second progression. Fear the Lord your God to walk in all His ways. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of business. And to love Him. There will be a love for Him. And to serve the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, and with your entire being. For when we love God, serving Him will come naturally. When we love Him, when we forsake ourselves and take up our cross and love Him, that cannot be done by the natural. We cannot take up our cross in the natural because it's not a pleasant thing. But when we love God, when we see His sacrifice, we say, "God, You died on the cross. I will take up my cross and I will walk it out and I will come into where You desire me to come and I will take it up." Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, I believe. Let's see, what did I write? Revelation chapter 2. And he's talking to the church of Ephesus. I'm sorry. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, I write these things and say that you hold the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience and how that cannot bear them which are evil." You can't bear them which are evil. And "now has tried with them which say are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake, and have labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because thou hast left thy first love." He says, "You left your first love. And then he says, return to that first love. In the church today, when people say, return to your first love, return to that where you first started. And you know what I believe they're really saying? Is return to the zeal that you had to serve God. Return to that zeal. Oh man, when I first loved God, I was up every morning. I read the Word of God. And I got old. But man, I witnessed. I told people about Jesus. Oh man, I was at church every time the doors opened. And the preachers love that. Preachers love that. Preachers love that zeal that you would have for God. But it's not lasting unless you go back to the true first love. And that is, we didn't love Him before He loved us. He loved us first. And that's the first love that we'd have to return to. That's the love that we have to encounter again, where we say, He loved me. I remember the first time I realized how much He loved me. It was at Guadalupe Christian Camp. A guy named Leonard Navarre, he brought a crown of thorns. He showed me the things. And I remember after he preached, I wept and I sobbed. I said, oh my God, look what you did for me. Look at the sacrifice that you made for me. Look at what you went through. Oh my God, I realized this love that you have for me. And I just wept and I wept. And there was these people that had taken me there. And they found me because I had run out of the building. I was out in the woods. And they said, are you all right? I said, no, I'm not. I'm not all right. I feel the burden. I feel the love that my God had for me. And they were trying to console me, but I wasn't consolable. I didn't want to be consolable. I wanted Him to know that I wanted to love Him like He loved me. And you know, that had nothing to do with what I was doing. It had nothing to do with my zeal to go and do and be. And say, oh my gosh. But what I wanted to do was out of that love. Was out of that love that He had for me. Love is life changing. Our love is life changing. Think, if you hadn't loved your spouse, would life be different? Absolutely. Sharon wouldn't be here. Sharon would not be in Crane. She probably would never heard of Crane. The love for our kids. Come on, parents. How much do you love your kids? How much do you sacrifice for them? Willingly. I'm getting some thanks back from my kids. I'm getting some, Dad, thanks for what you've done. Thank you for doing some of these things. Cole, I'll drive him to Odessa. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for driving me here. You know, that, and I look at him and I go, even though I appreciate his heart, his gratitude, and he needs to have it, but the reality of it is, in my heart I'm going, you don't need to thank me. I'm laying down my life for you, and I want to lay down my life for you. I want to give you the most and the best. I want to give to you whatever it takes for you to be who God wants you to be. That's what I want to do. And so there's sacrifice involved. See, God already did the sacrificing. The very thing that we had going on this morning was because the sacrifice had already been done. It is because of His sacrifice on the cross. By His stripes, we are healed. It is by what He has done. He became poor so that we may become rich. His love, His sacrifice, what He did opened up the doors for so much. We're not able to love unless we understand the love for him or his love for us. We can't. There's no possible way. He's defining it in our lives. He's defining it. There's a word that's coming out, been going on forever, but I'm hearing it more. I want to be lovesick, God. Lovesick for you. What's that mean? I want the burden of your love. I want to be lovesick for you. Carmen's been a little homesick. She's going, I want to come home. Yeah, okay. I get it. I hear your heart. She's going, what's it take? What's it going to take for me to come home? A word of God's what it's going to take. I'll just tell you right now. When God says, you can come home. But man, you know, she was struggling. Now, she knows what homesick is. If she can just translate to what lovesick is. Oh, I'm so sick for you. I just want so much of you. I want to be lovesick over you. People who are dating, they're lovesick with their boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. You know, those times when you're on the phone all night. You know, those times where you're just going, man, I just want to be with you. And I want you to be with me. I want to be where you are. You know, God is lovesick over us. The songs that we were singing a while ago, I want to be where you are. And he does. He wants to be in our midst. He wants to be here. Out of his love, he wants to pour out unto you healing. He wants to pour out unto you prosperity. He doesn't want you to struggle. I love that word. He doesn't want you to struggle. But yet I sit here and go, please God, please God. And he's saying, just open your ears. Open up your heart. Open up your heart to me. Man, this is just so hard. Cole went to the doctor this past week. And he has a knee injury. Dr. Cochran got him down on the thing. And he says, now just let your leg loose. And he started contorting that leg. I was going, oh my gosh, if he's not hurt, he's hurt now. But he says, let loose. And he started, and of course it hurt, so he tightened up. And I said, he goes, you're too powerful. I can't contort the way I need to see what's going on. And that's the way we are. We're sitting here and going, he's going, let loose, but I'm afraid. Let loose because there could be some pain. Let loose. He's going, let loose. Know that I can fix it. Know that I can bring it to be. You might have to go through some pain. You may have to go through some things in your life. There may be some letting go of things that you desperately wanted to hold close. But he's saying, let loose and let me be. And I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. Man, there's some victories to be had. There's some victories to be had in your life because of his love for you. And once you realize, once you get some victory, once you get some knowledge about what God wants to do in your life, you're going to find, this is what you're going to find. You're going to find, yes, this is what I wanted all along, even though I didn't know it. This is what I wanted. And then you're going to find that out of that love that he has poured into you, you're going to pour back unto him. And he's going, that's what I wanted. I wanted you to love me. That's why I created you. I wanted you to be mine. And then out of that, out of the overflow of this love fest and this love sickness that's coming together, he's going to pour out of you his love unto those who he loves. He's going to show, you know what love is? Show that love to them. You know what love is? You say, yes, I know what that love is. Show them to them. And there's going to be an outpouring. There's going to be an overflow. You know why Christians get tired? It's because they get into the deeds. They get into, here's Wednesday night. We got to go up there and do Judah. Oh, here's Tuesday night. I've got to go calling. Oh, here's Thursday night. And every morning, 5 a.m, I get up and pray. He's going, is that what you tell your spouse? Got to eat another meal with you. Is that what you're saying to your husband? I got to cook another meal for you. She wish you stop eating. It's not out of your love. Are your duties just duties out of responsibility? Part of it's true. But part of it is responsibility kicks in when love's not happening or our emotion. God never fails. God says, I will be with you always. In this Ephesian letter, back to what I was saying, the preachers of that usually go back to this scripture saying, I want to see your zeal again. I want to see what you used to do. I want to see your zeal for him. And that's not what he's saying. Because they did have zeal. They were doing it. Look at verse 2, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified. I know your industry and activities, laborious toil and trouble, and your brother endurance, and how you cannot tolerate wicked men, and have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, special messengers of Christ, and yet are not, and have found them to be imposters and liars. I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my namesake, and you have not fainted and became exhausted or grown weary. He goes, man, you guys are doing it, buddy. You guys are marching along. But isn't it sad? The next thing that he says, but you've lost your first love. You've forgotten how much I love you. You've forgotten that. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians. Right after Galatians. Right before Philippians. Ephesians. Chapter 2. Actually, no, chapter 1. One starting with verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For I always pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you may know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and world which are to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in the body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. I think Paul prayed this for the Ephesus church. He said, I want to prophesy this to you. And they got it. Yeah, that's what we want. And they prayed that for themselves. The very word that Paul says here, he says, that's what we want. We want to know your power. We want to know and have understanding and wisdom. And we want to know that, God. And they prayed it for themselves. As Paul prophesied over them. And we need to do the very same thing. We need to have that. Ephesus got it. Turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Something maybe a Craig should preach on. Bring some understanding to prophecies. One of the reasons God prophesies over you is sometimes a lack. I'm prophesying this over you so that you will go and do, or you can have what God wants for you. I'm just letting you know God wants it for you. And then you can agree with God in it and just come to fruition. Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 16. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man of the Holy Spirit, himself dwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and found securely in love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, which is the breadth, length, height, and depth of it. And to know the love of Christ, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, love with knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through your being unto the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now what he's saying here is they didn't get this part. They missed this part. He prophesied over them, saying, hey, there's a love out there that you may know God's love, the height, the breadth, the depth of him, of his love. And then he comes and says that you may know the surpassing power. Hey, I can get on with power. Let us not be like that. Let us continue to focus on his love for us and our love for him. That's what worship is all about. That's what coming to whatever place, daily worship, is all about. Loving one another. You know, we always hear about the man his wife comes to him and says, you know, you don't tell me you love me anymore. And he says, honey, when we got married, I told you I loved you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. How sad. How sad. Sharon says, did you tell me you love me today? You know, I don't think I did. I love you, baby. I love you. She wants to know every day. You know what God does too? God does too. God wants his words of love and love sickness to be on your lips. I mean, can he survive without it? Yeah. Does he want to? No. No. It's a much more pleasant place that your time with him. Bill Cunningham, mighty man of God, he was back during the Catherine Kuhlman age. Catherine Kuhlman, mighty miracles. Mighty, mighty miracles. A little strange, but mighty miracles. But Bill Buckingham, after one of the meetings Catherine Kuhlman had, Bill was coming to say something to her. And he said, I entered into the room and I left immediately because I knew I shouldn't be there because she and God were intimate. She was speaking her love to God. I've been in lots of meetings. I've been in lots and lots of meetings. And sometimes there are no, before the meeting, oh man, you're there going, please God show up. Please God show up. Oh God, I love you so much. Please God show up. I know you love me. Please God show up. After the meetings and God shows up. Woo, yeah. Catherine Kuhlman was, that was her intimate time. She had done the work. She had the intimate time with God right then, afterwards. See, the pressure was not the people. The pressure was being with God. Yes, this is what I desire. This is what I need. This gives me my sustenance. I know you love the people. God's going to ask you to do some things. It's going to require some things. Turn to Mark 12. Mark 12, starting with verse 29. And Jesus answered, the first and principal of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God out of your whole heart and out of and with all your soul and out of in all your mind, and the moral with your faculty of thought and moral understanding, and out of and with all your strength. This is the first and principal commandment. Again, coming from Deuteronomy. This is the first commandment. What is a commandment? A commandment is not an option. This is what I want you to do. No ifs, ands, or buts. And he says, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your understanding, with all your strength. Love him. We cannot do the second commandment unless we have the first commandment done. The second commandment. And you shall love... Oh, let me see. The second is like it and is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is nothing more than that. And the scribe said to him, excellent and fitting and admirable, answered, teacher, you have said truly that he is one and there is no other but him. And to love him out of all of your heart and out of all of your understanding and with all of your strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus saw that he answered intelligently. And he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And he says, you're not far. Having the understanding is great. Doing is better. To obey is better than sacrifice. To go and actually love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and then loving your neighbor. The Lord says, First John. First John chapter 4. Four 19. We love him because he first loved us. In loving him. No, I'm not going to do that. Excuse me, just a second, please. Hebrews tells us, remember I started off with Hebrews being a transition for us. We've talked about this. We're knowing it. We're in Hebrews. So this is where I want to end. Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Everything stems out of the love of God. Some of you who don't know what chastening is just basically heavy correction. And those of you who have children know that he spanks you. You spank your kids and go, hey, you know, you need to fly right. And he says, he only chastens those who he loves. And just like little children, just like, you know, we're going, don't spank me. or, I don't like you. Or sometimes, I hate you. And this thing that goes on between parents and children. And you know something? A lot of stuff goes on in a house because of fear. You know, I'm going to discipline you because I'm afraid you're going to grow up and go to jail. You know, you're going to be a rotten person, and I don't want you to be a rotten person. Or, you know, the reason I don't spank you is because I'm afraid you're not going to love me. You're going to set your affections to someone else. And if I discipline you, then you're not going to like me. Can't imagine Noah ever doing that. But it's true. How many parents do I... So why are they having this problem today? Well, when they were little, I didn't ever do anything to them. Why didn't you do anything? Because it was hard. It hurt me to give them spankings. Yeah. Well, now, how do you feel about getting them out of jail? But I'm telling you this. Let's stop the fear and start living by faith. Let's have faith that when I do what God tells me to do and how to raise my children, that they're going to follow the Lord. Let's have faith that the love of God that's in our house, they're going to get that and they're going to learn how to love their mom and dad. That the love of God is going to reign supreme and the love of God is going to be the motivator. They may not see it at first, but if they see it in you, they're going to catch it. I'm telling you, they're going to catch it. We don't raise our children out of fear of what they're going to be like. Oh man, I'm afraid they're going to be like my mom and dad. No. Let them know the faith that they will be like their heavenly Father. So what does that mean? Well, that means we have to learn how to take chastening. We know how to take counsel. We know how to take the Lord's counsel. I was talking with Cole. And talking about his life. And I made this statement. And Sharon caught it before I did. But I said, Cole, you think you can take my advice? You know what Sharon said? Advice! We're not giving you advice. We're giving you direction. You think this is advice. No, this is not advice. The Lord here is bringing to us a way that we can be. In Hebrews, also, it talks about provoke one another to love and to good works. You know, if you love, you'll do good works. If you love the poor, you're going to feed the poor. If you love the hurting, you're going to minister to the hurting. And then finally in Hebrews chapter 13, the last chapter, first verse, says, let love for your fellow brother believers continue and be a fixed practice with you. Never let it fail. The practicalities of Hebrews and the transition that's happening in our lives, he's saying to us, number one, provoke one another to love and good works. Number two, endure your chastening. Endure the discipline of the Lord because He loves you. And three, let your brotherly love continue. Let it just overflow. You know, I know that when Denny Kramer was here, he was a prophet. And very accurate prophet. Let's say he was prophesying to Jared. He said, you know, we asked him, you know, how does this work for you? He goes, well, what I see stuff in on top of his head, you know, like he'll see a tool and he goes, you're a very industrious man, or you know, he'll see money. Oh, you're going to prosper. You know, God's going to use you in the kingdom with prosperity. And so in that, I'm going, well, how difficult is that? Oh, you see, and then you say. I mean, you know, but I don't have that, so it's very difficult for me. But I was talking with Craig just the other day, and he was going, you know, I feel things. I feel things when things come through. And I am learning that I was prophesied over that you continually look at books. He says, I see you at this desk, and you're looking at books. And this light is coming out of this midst. And you think they're coming out of the books, but it's coming out of your heart. And then I was prophesied that rivers of life are going to be flowing out of you. And I've been trying to cultivate that thing. And that there'll be times when I'm counseling someone, when I'm talking with someone, and my heart and chest grow so big, it feels like it's going to jump out of my chest. It feels like I'm about to bust open. And I'm going, God's love for you is immense. And I think sometimes people go, yeah, I know, I'm cool. No, man, you don't understand. I've got to let this out. I've got to bring it to you. I've got to impart something that the love of God is doing in your life. It's necessary. Life any other way is dull and boring and colorless. But when God sheds his love on you, and he does, ever since Craig prophesied, what is it that you want? And I said, I want to disciple men. I want to disciple 100 men. He goes, get the arrow, strike the ground more. And one of the things that I learned during this trip says, man, I need to have more love for people. If my whole extent is just 100, I'm talking about now thousands. I'm talking hundreds of thousands. Let my heart grow so big that you have flooded me with that type of intensity, with that type of love, that I can go out and love people like that. Because I can only give them what I have. And if my love cup is this big, then that's all I can pour out on you. I get impatient. I get, oh, God, you know, go see Jimmy. You know, go see someone else. I'm done. But if my love cup is huge, then I pray that it saturates you so that you may not have an excuse in the world of your own insecurity, but know that the love of God is motivating you in doing. And whatever I need to go through, I'll go through. There's a book that I gave Jared. It's called The Heavenly Man. I recommend that every one of you get it. It's called The Heavenly Man. It's the testimony of Brother Yun. This man had a love for China. And the beatings that he took for the love of China. He was imprisoned time and time again because he preached the gospel. At one time, he said that his influence, he didn't say it this way, I'm saying it this way, that the influence of the house churches that he had saved 58 million people. I'm telling you, this man had a love for God. They would beat him, he had broken bones, and he would kneel, and he would pray, God, save China. Save China. He would love his enemies. Show how he loved his enemies. And it was out of his love that God had poured upon him. It is a modern day book of Acts. It is what God did. He's just 2 years older than me. And the things that he went through and the things that he's done. And granted, he had an anointing from God. But the issue was, at any time he could have given up. And almost did. But he said, no. God, while he was in prison, he wasn't allowed to have a Bible. So they would smuggle in just pieces of paper with scriptures on it. And he said, I prayed to God that just that little bit just encouraged me for weeks. Amazing. It's amazing. Father, right now I just pray that your love would be manifest in these people's lives by the word of God that you've come and brought them to. Whatever space, whatever place that is not filled with your love, God, fill it now. And I pray, I thank you, Father, for your manifest healings that went on today. I thank you, Lord, that electricity that went through me, it was indescribable, God. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that if we are that transition, we're a crossover people. We're a crossover people, crossing over to where you want us and what you want us to be, so that, God, the kingdom of God would be put in place. And Crane would be different. I pray for Crane, God, that it be different. I